Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. America leads the world in incarceration. One in three adults of working age have a criminal record. They are our neighbors, our coworkers, ourselves. Jim Reese is an associate professor of English at Mount Marty College in Yankton. He's author of the books Really Happy and Ghost on Third. For 10 years now, he has been teaching a rigorous 10-week creative writing program in Yankton's federal prison camp. That program is funded by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Federal Bureau of Prisons. The 10th anniversary edition of the course's anthology, 4 p.m. Count, has been released. And the seeds of creativity are now being sown in the state prison in Springfield and the women's prison in Pierre. Jim Reese joins me now in the SDPB studios in Vermilion. Hey, Jim. Well, hey. Welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you. 10 years, looking back when you first started, what do you know now that would have been useful to know when you began the program 10 years ago?
Well, it's hard to summarize 10 years, everything I've learned. I've spent the last 10 years kind of writing about this, so some of the poems and short prose appear in some of the books you mentioned. And I'm finishing up a manuscript of creative nonfiction right now. It's called 11 Years in Prison and What Criminals Teach Me. So that's just a huge puzzle of all these pieces that I've tried to put together and try to learn, you know. I didn't wake up one day and say I want to work in a prison. The opportunity came to me, and I thought it sounded exciting. I think like a lot of writers, I thought, oh, wow, this sounds cool. Not knowing what I was getting into. And after about 4 or 5 years, I really started to ask myself, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, besides being a writer and just coming in here and teaching creative writing. And I saw some students, the more I listened, that's what I learned, I guess, in the last 10 years, to really listen and understand, started doing a lot of research. Why are these men and now women incarcerated? I started to understand that these guys are just like you and I. I mean, any one of us, after a few misdirected decisions, could wind up in a place like this. Mm. So yeah, it was just really listening and understanding. And then, that statistic you just said, it's pretty alarming, but it's the truth. One in every three Americans of working age has some sort of criminal record.
When you study writing and become a writer or set out to become a writer, you don't necessarily think about giving back or how you're going to use this profession to be of service in society, other than what you might write and your connection with a reader. Did you think that from the very beginning, that part of this profession was going to be finding a spot where you could make a difference in society, or was that a total surprise to you?
When I was in college, we were able to, as a journalist, we were able to do some news stories to give people voice that didn't have a voice. And I really liked that idea, to really try to help somebody. And that's really what kept pushing me to continue working and pursuing other degrees so I could teach writing. And somebody recently in the last few years brought this to my attention. It's a Mark Twain quote where they said the two best days of your life are the day you're born and the day you figure out why. Mm-hmm. So since I've been doing this, especially after about 4 or 5 years at the federal prison, it just dawned on me. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, And once I realized I could really help these people and help them turn around their lives pretty quickly, as soon as they could come to terms with why they were there and they could write their stories, it really started to help them heal. And it helps us understand that people need a second and sometimes third chance. And if we don't try to, if we don't write and try to delve into our past, what's the alternative? Mm. There's millions of men throughout the country that'll never come to terms with themselves. So I think this is a great program. And, part of our training when we started, too, I should mention, the first 4 years at the, this is sponsored through the National Endowment for the Arts. So they would send us to San Quentin in California to watch their arts programs. Mm-hmm. So we would go in there for a couple of days, and we did that for about 4 years. We would go in there for a couple of days at a time and watch all the different arts programs, how they operated. And they have their own newspaper in San Quentin. And so I was reading it one day that I was there, and it said, you can lock a person up and teach them a trade while they're incarcerated, and that's all fine and good. But unless you can teach somebody how to tap into those emotional instabilities that brought him to prison in the first place, you're just going to send an angry person right back out into society. So I think
because
writing,
they are coming out into society. I mean, many of them. There's value in teaching somebody who might be in prison for life, but there's also a real tangible value to teaching somebody who is going to go be a neighbor. Their kids are going to play with your kids. They're going to be a coworker. They're going to be the person who helps you at the, in the world of, the service industry or a manufacturing industry or wherever they go on to find work.
95%.
We want them to be, to
95% of the people incarcerated are going to be released. And, for these 10 years, I'm trying to keep searching. You're never going to be able to stop crime completely. Right. I mean, our first goal, obviously, is public safety. But if we know that 95% of people are going to be released, what can we do? And I'm a school teacher, at heart, right? That's what I do. So how can I help these people? And that's what keeps driving me.
How do you measure success for you as a teacher in this program? Are you looking towards statistics and that's important to you? Or are you looking for the moment when somebody finds their voice?
I would think first when they find their voice. I don't like a lot of numbers, but I guess everybody needs them to keep programs like this running, right? So if we say, I love when I can tell you right now, out of 20 guys in my class, there's one I'm keep trying. I know he's right on the fence, like he's ready to tell his story, but, I think in a couple more weeks he will. And these guys are excited to get in this book and get published.
Right.
It helps their families heal. It helps them heal. It helps people understand what's going on. But then what also is exciting is, I can tell you if we're talking about numbers, is the RAND Corporation study. A report came out in 2013, a bipartisan report that says that every dollar spent on prison education equates to $5 worth of savings for taxpayers. So that's good. Right. When we know just locking somebody up doesn't work.
How is the program expanding into the state system? Is something new here that somehow you're working within the state of South Dakota as well?
Yeah. I started talking to some people that work at the state prison, the deputy warden. I just told her about the program that we were running at the federal prison, and I gave her and her husband, who works there as well, a book, a 4 p.m. count, and I said it would be great to start this program. They really liked the idea, and I thought, it would take a long time to start, and really it happened really quickly in about 3 months. They liked the idea so much, and the warden duly liked the idea, and so we started the program, and so that is in its first full year right now. And that is actually a three-month program, and it's between Springfield and then the women's prison in Pierce. So, and that's going really well. And it was just exciting to see that happen so quickly because they could see the benefits, and just everybody in South Dakota is really on board with it, and it's great.
One of the questions that always comes to mind when we talk about this program, you've been with us before, and I think I've written stories about you and this program, the work that you're doing, is this notion of a 10-week creative writing class that's has a fair amount of rigor to it. Is not something that's offered to people very, most of us haven't done that outside of the prison walls. So what if we move this upstream? What happens if you provide writing instruction to people earlier? Do you think that has the potential to sort of help people deal with some of those issues that they're having before committing a crime?
Through all the research I've been doing, you try to get at the root. Where can we start?
Right.
And one alarming, I was talking to the author, Megan O'Donnell. She writes those children's books, Stink and Judy Moody and
right,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter wanted her autograph.
McDonald. Megan McDonald.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she brought the statistic to my attention. She said, "Do you know?" And I have it. I have some statistics here in front of me. The listeners don't see that, but I do know this: that the ratio of books to children in middle-income neighborhoods is about 13 books to one child, and the ratio of books to children in lower-income neighborhoods is approximately one book to 300 children. Mm. So you and I know that our house is full of books, right? And that comes, you know, and that's in growing up in the Midwest. We have a lot of good values out here, and I think that's great. It's hard for me, and it took me years to kind of figure that out, to realize, you know, a lot of these men I'm working with, they didn't have a book at home.
They didn't have a book.
And then, you know, when Megan brought that to my attention, she said, you know, she was out in California, and she said she was doing a workshop with these kids, and she said, "Hey, bring in a book from home tomorrow, and we'll take a look at your favorite book." They didn't have any books at home, so what they did is they brought these magazines into class the next day with just the covers ripped off of them to try to pass them off as books because they didn't have a book at home.
Wow.
So that was, you know, so it's hard. You know, it takes a little while to understand where, if you're working with all these men and now women, where they're coming from, you know, and their backgrounds and stuff. So, but definitely to answer your question, to go back to it, I think the sooner we can start with that, there's some great stuff. I mean, I think it just, you have to start early and you have to, you know, education is the key.
Once somebody sort of, you know, finds their voice or finds that writing is useful to them in some way, it can be, I know for me as a writer, once you make that connection, it's, you don't turn it off. I mean, it can be like a faucet or it can be a lifelong, and you need it. So I know even in my job now, if I have a week where I really didn't get to do any writing because it was busy, I was doing many other wonderful, important things, but I didn't sit down and write, it can be painful.
Yeah.
So do you deal with that with the people in prison where you see once they get started, then they're like, I have to do this. I mean, this is an important part of my life and my self-care.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I encourage them, you know, and I hope that happens with all students, you know, they start realizing the importance of it because like you said, yeah, you're exactly right. It's like being a runner. You know,
right.
If you can't run or you can't work out one day, you just get agitated and you start getting angry and you're like, what's going on? And it's like, oh, I haven't done this thing that really is what drives me, gets me up in the morning. So I try to encourage that, give them all kinds of things. And once they write that story or poem or whatever it is, and that light goes on, I think that's what you hope for as a teacher. And then you hope that magic stays with them.
What do you have to get them to understand for that light to go on? Do you have to overcome fear, doubt, anger? What, you know, what do you have to get past?
I think all
of it.
You've
got about a minute, really.
Okay. I think you just have to knock the crow off your shoulder and you have to go into that dark cave and talk about all the things you're afraid to talk about. And really, you know, that's what compels, you know, your readers are going to be interested in. Mm. You got to quit worrying about what other people are going to think. And just tell the story
that
matters.
Knock the crow off your shoulder. That's from who? Do you remember that book? I've read the same book.
Yeah, that's our friend. That's Maria Maziotti Gillen.
Okay, yeah.
Has a picture of a crow on her book, but that's what she would always tell us. She's a great friend of mine.
Writing poetry to save your life, right?
That's it.
Look that one up if you're a writer or a teacher.
And that is the best book to help in a class or a setting like this. It's called, Writing Poetry to Save Your Life. It's by Maria Maziotti Gillen. But she always taught us that, you know. Just go into that cave and tell the story.
And how about just reading, too? Because I remember reading your poetry in Ghost on Third or Really Happy. And I remember there was a poem, I've told you this before. Oh, we're going to run out of time, Jim. But there's this, you're talking about your daughter, and she takes a fall and almost hits her head on the sidewalk, and you catch her at the last minute. And I remember reading that poem and thinking it was so beautiful, so moving. And, it's just a poem about being outside with your kid. I could write that and call it a poem. So reading great literature or great poetry that's accessible and shows people the way is also important, yeah?
Yeah. I think the number one thing you can do to become a better writer is not to write, it's to read and read everything.
Jim Reese, we're going to leave it there. 4 p.m. Count is out now, the 10th anniversary edition.
And it's available free, too. So if you just go to jimreese.org and fill out the forms, we'll send it away for, we don't sell them, so we'll give them away for free for educational purposes.